desire y'all's prayers.
Lord bless you.
Yeah.
I'm often struck by the description of preaching described as foolishness. And if you really think about it, I'm purporting to get up here and tell y'all about something y'all should have already read.
All right.
So.
And I do appreciate the Lord's mercy and goodness on us. Appreciated the song.
Yeah. Thank the Lord.
Listening to the songs, and you know, the one about wanting to be an instrument of love.
Yeah.
The one Damar sang about, I heard, I believed.
Yeah.
And it, it's one of those things, you know, don't we believe?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I want to talk about how we keep our belief.
Yeah.
That's wonderful, brother. God bless you.
Praise the Lord.
Because the devil is out there.
That's
yeah.
True.
The devil is all around in our world today. He's trying to make this world look the darkest, scariest place he can make it. He's wanting to get your eyes off Christ.
That's true.
Yeah.
And he is going to do everything he can to disturb you, to take your peace.
That's so.
So I'm going to start reading in Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. Now this is starting off, this is talking about Jesus. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me.
Yeah.
And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us.
Yeah.
Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth.
Yeah.
And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief.
Yeah.
Now this man had brought his child on a whim. Do you think he brought his child to the disciples just on a chance?
Oh, Lord.
So he'd come to the disciples with a belief.
Yes.
I've heard and I've understood that you can get healing here.
That's right.
Yeah.
There's healing here. I'm going to bring my child here.
Uh-huh.
And then what? The disciples didn't seem to have the power.
Oh, Lord.
Crowd got around, and next thing you know, Jesus himself is there.
Yeah.
What is hope? What is our belief? I want us to start by looking at hope a bit. The Father had hope, and it was based on his belief. And Webster's definition of hope says a desire of some good accompanied with an at least slight expectation of obtaining it, or a belief that it is obtainable. Hope differs from wish and desire in this, that it implies some expectation of obtaining the good desired or the possibility of possessing it.
Yes.
Hope, therefore, always gives pleasure or joy, whereas wish and desire may produce or be accompanied with pain and anxiety.
Oh.
And I thought about that. You know, how many people have ever said, well, I hope to make it out to meet. I hope to make it to church. And I don't know about y'all. I've said that, and I'm not going to say guilty of saying it, because I'll probably say it in the future. Sometimes things are happening. Uh-huh. You might have things going on with work, and you're like, well, I hope. Uh-huh. My desire and my expectations are I'm going to make it to church. I hope to make it out to service.
Amen. Amen.
But now what if I said I wish I could make it to Antarctica? A wish is something really different.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Some people probably look at, why would you want to go to Antarctica? You know what? What's there? What's the odds of, how many people just go to Antarctica? The odds of getting to Antarctica really aren't that good. There's not a whole lot of tours you can take to Antarctica. There's not a lot of commercial flights down there. There's not even really much there at all.
Oh.
Hope is different than a wish. We can wish for lots of things with no expectation of seeing.
That's so.
That's right.
But hope says that there's something we're grasping onto. This has a little more to it than a wish.
Yeah.
This father had taken his sons with a hope.
Uh-huh.
Now let's read real quick in Hebrews 11 and 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now substance. What is substance? What makes up this thing I'm touching here?
Matter.
Matter. It has substance. I can touch it. I can feel it.
Yeah.
What's right here? Air, but as far as... There's no substance here. It's... There could be something here, but there's not.
Uh-huh.
So faith is the substance.
Yeah.
You want it?
Uh-huh.
You want to be able to grab it?
Uh-huh.
Your hope? You want to have something to your hope? Put some faith in there. Give it some substance.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Evidence. Evidence of things not seen.
Amen.
Evidence means that which enables the mind to see truth, proof arising from our own perceptions by the senses or from the testimony of others or from the inductions of reading. The word evidence comes from the Latin word evidentia, which comes from the word video, which is not the word we have today for video, but it means to see.
Uh-huh.
So faith is the substance, the physical makeup, if you will, of the things we hope for, and it's what's going to cause us to see it.
Yeah.
You want it to be more than a wish? You need to dig in with faith. You have to have a belief.
Yeah.
Amen.
My wife and I like to travel around, and she doesn't like swinging rope bridges.
No.
She doesn't have a lot of faith in them. We went to a place called Rock City in Georgia, and there is a swinging rope bridge, and it's a ways up in the air. And the way the little trails are set up, you go in one way, and you're supposed to not go backwards. And she's standing there, and she is not wanting to go forward.
Yeah.
Now, they happen to have, if you look at the little map, there is an alternate route that stays on rock, and you don't have to go across that swinging bridge. She chose that route.
Yeah.
Her belief in that rope bridge was not there. There was no faith there. She saw it, but it didn't have substance to her.
Yeah.
It was too movable.
Yeah.
And she could look between things and see on down. So she was happy to see that alternative path laid out for people that don't have what it takes to cross that bridge. Help my unbelief. God wants us to be successful.
Yes,
he does.
His whole point of coming here was to say you can live this life.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not just going to tell you how to do it. I'm going to show you. I'm going to put some substance to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put some visual, what did it say? Testimony from others.
Yes.
I'm going to give you some testimony, some things to look at. So you can believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But when you struggle,
oh Lord,
I'm going to be there too.
Thank the Lord.
Isn't that wonderful?
Now, let's go here and start taking a look at this man's circumstances. So he had hope. He brought his child in, brought him to the disciples. Now, we know the disciples had been given power to heal. So Jesus told him, go out and go heal. I'm giving you this power. Go take care of it. So he had a good, solid foundation, if you will, a good, solid hope, substance for, if I take my child to these disciples, I can get my child healed. And he went there.
Amen.
And now it doesn't say what the disciples did, but I have no doubt they tried.
Right.
I doubt they just looked at it and said, no, we only heal between 9 and 10 today. You came here at 10:05. Healing's over for the day. You'll have to come back later.
No.
I don't think the disciples, in all sincerity, said, okay, great.
Yeah.
And they maybe prayed, laid hands on.
Labored. Yeah.
And no healing. How do you think that father's starting to feel? Oh, Lord. You know, I have a belief. I have a hope. I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
And then the crowd starts showing up. Because guess what? It sounds like the Spirit was steady showing itself in the boy.
Yeah.
And the crowd starts showing up.
Yes.
And the world starts weighing in. Different people talking about, oh, yeah, well, you know, what did you expect? These men aren't doctors. They're just disciples of this guy Jesus. And yeah, we've heard maybe there are some healings, but why'd you bring them to these folks? They're not even professionals. They haven't been to school for medicine. They says the scribes and the Pharisees showed up. The religious leaders.
Yes.
Well, you're looking to God for healing? Well, that's not the way you get it. Do we have that happening in our day to day where things are going on and the world weighs in and no, you've got it wrong, and religious leaders of the day they win, no, that's not right either. The powers that be, the world just chaos going on, and we're looking at our circumstances and it just looks like the devil is having free reign.
No, Lord.
Yes, Lord, help us.
And then Jesus shows up. Would that perk your faith back up?
Yes.
Okay, the disciples could do it, but Jesus is here.
Yeah.
Whew, I am so glad to see you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. I brought my child to your disciples, and he couldn't heal him.
Uh-huh.
And then even more hopeful is Jesus says, well, bring him to me.
Yeah.
And so the child comes there, and suddenly the Spirit attacks again. The child falls out on the ground, thrashing and moaning and foaming at the mouth.
Oh, Lord.
But he's in front of the master. Why is this happening? What is going on?
Yes, Lord.
And Jesus asks, well, how long has this been going on? Would you be like, well, Lord, could you just heal me? Please?
Yeah.
I brought him to you in the belief that I could get healing.
Yeah.
And now you're wanting to know how long he's had this.
Okay.
Well, he's had it since he's been a child.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's caused problems all throughout growing up. It could have killed him multiple times, several times.
Uh-huh.
I really want him healed.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, okay, well,
yes, Lord.
If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believe it.
Uh-huh.
Well, what if, Lord, I brought him to you.
Yeah.
And that's when the man cried out, Lord,
uh-huh,
I believe.
Uh-huh.
But you know, sometimes there can be parts of us inside that's struggling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, it can.
Parts of us that we need to strengthen, we need to deal with.
Yeah.
And that's what Jesus was going for here. Yes. It looks bad, sir. Can you believe?
Yes.
Dig down in there. Let's look for anything that would hinder your belief.
Yes, Lord.
And the man doesn't sound like he, with tears, Lord, I believe. Find the spots. Find the unbelief. Dig into me, Lord.
Yeah.
Go deep.
Uh-huh.
I want this.
Yeah.
I believe as much as I can. And if there's unbelief in me, Lord, I need your help now.
Yeah.
This is where I'm at, Lord, and I'm standing in front of you. This is what I'm here for.
Yeah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
And how did it turn out? Things went pretty good, right? So let's go ahead and read here. And when Jesus saw that people came running together, and he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and he came out, and he was as one dead, and so much that many said, He is dead. Now what happened to the power of Jesus? We went from having a live person to now a potentially dead person.
Yeah.
Because Jesus told the spirit to come out.
That's right.
Where's your belief? Jesus had just said just moments before, if you can believe. And the man had asked for help.
Yeah.
And the Lord said, okay, spirit come out.
Yeah.
And now it looks like my son's dead.
Oh, Lord.
Ever consider the level of digging into his soul that Father had to do?
Oh, Lord.
But as we keep reading, but Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up.
Yes,
he did. And he arose. You know, the devil loves to discourage us.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
The devil wasn't taking it very easy on anybody that day, was he?
No.
The disciples, they couldn't cast him out.
Couldn't do it.
And don't you know that as the Father stood there and no doubt pleaded with the disciples, and they unfortunately have to shrug and say, we don't know why. Despair starts coming in.
Yeah.
Gloom clouds start gathering. Your mind starts going to dark places. The devil's like, oh yeah, I'm going to win this battle. I can confuse this poor soul. He's believing now, but just, I'm going to get him yet. People show up. They're adding their confusion, their hollering. The world today, pick any subject.
Yeah.
And they're going to have an opinion on it one way or another.
That's right. Amen.
And if you take a good hard look at it, you'll find their opinions are never balanced. The world will, it's like sports almost. I remember at work one time, some fellas asked me, I think the Super Bowl was going on and there were two teams playing. They said, which team are you rooting for? I said, I don't have a favorite team. And their response, oh, you have to have one. You have to pick a side. You have to pick a side. You can't, we're about to talk sports and you cannot be in this conversation unless you pick a side. You have to. That is the way the world operates. It wants you to feel like that it's either all this way, all that way, and just wants you to get so muddled and confused. But the world doesn't want you to realize there's a balance point where everything will make sense.
Amen.
There's a point where if you will calm down, let the Lord work, get yourself settled on the rock, you can start seeing, oh, there's a bigger picture at play here. Jesus showed up, and no doubt the man said, ah, that's the rock. I sure was feeling the everything shaking around me, but now the rock's here. I'm solid again. Did the devil leave at that point? No. They brought his son to Jesus and the devil threw the son down again. The devil will not stop trying to discourage you just because Jesus is trying to help you.
That's true. No, he won't.
His goal is not your salvation. The devil's goal is not that. His goal is your destruction.
Yeah.
He will work and work and work to get you into that point, no matter how he has to do it.
Amen. That is so true.
even to the point that after the miracle has occurred, when it looked like the son was dead, he will try to play with your mind. Try to get you. The people of the world whose minds the devil had control of said what? He's dead.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of people, and this is just based on reading old books of the healings, have you ever heard of people that went and prayed, got healing, and then they had doubts?
Uh-huh.
And the illness or the healing that they had went away and they had to go back and pray for it again?
Yeah.
You know, the devil loves nothing better than to try to convince you
uh-huh.
that so. What you've already got isn't yours.
That's uh-huh. so.
That you really didn't attain that.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord.
But Jesus, when they started saying that, what did Jesus do? Come on, son. Go ahead.
Yes, thank the Lord.
Yeah.
Let's show the evidence,
amen.
The substance
yes.
of what this father was here for.
Yeah.
Let's go show that while he had to cry out, help, my unbelief,
yes.
yeah.
help was there. It wasn't a cry in vain. It wasn't a cry
amen.
Out into the emptiness with no hope of being heard.
Uh-huh.
And yes, Jesus was standing right there.
Yeah.
How far away is Jesus from us today?
Right there.
Right here now.
Right here now.
Yeah.
How far does his ear go to hear for a cry? Faintest cry.
Yeah.
And just the saved persons? Or does he also hear the cry of the sinner when the sinner reaches that point?
Oh,
Lord,
yeah.
Yes, he does.
Lord, I struggle to believe in you.
Yeah.
Help me, Lord.
Uh-huh.
Help me past my unbelief.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Lord, help us.
Show me
uh-huh.
what I'm seeking for.
Yeah.
Now, I want us to look at something. Going down to verse 28. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. I pondered this part of the story.
Uh-huh.
The disciples were having a little doubt.
Yeah.
They've been going around healing and apparently not had any real issues.
Uh-huh.
So now they're having to ask Jesus, well, my Lord, you know, we believe.
Uh-huh.
We believe. How come we couldn't cast him out?
Yeah.
You know, they're basically asking Jesus, help our unbelief.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Something hindered our prayers, Lord.
Yeah.
Something wasn't where it needed to be.
Uh-huh.
And Jesus said, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. What is prayer and fasting? Is that something you just do spur of the moment?
No.
I mean, what kind of healing would the Father had to have waited for if the disciples had said, okay, we appreciate that. We're going to have to fast and pray before we can heal your son. We'd like to give you a day to come back, but... we're not sure how long this fasting and praying part is going to need to take. So,
Lord.
Can you give us your address and phone number? We'll get back with you.
Okay.
You know what Jesus is telling them here? You guys are getting lax in your prayer life.
Uh-huh.
You were getting lax in how you handled things. Yes, you believed.
Uh-huh.
You got comfortable.
Yeah.
You had power working in your life, which is a good thing.
Uh-huh.
But you started to forget where the power came from.
Yeah.
If we've studied Jesus' life at all, did Jesus just go pray once or twice when he was on earth?
No. Every day.
He prayed, seems like, all the time.
Yeah.
How many of y'all have ever prayed all night?
Oh, Lord.
I've tried once or twice. My body is weak.
Yeah.
Not to become Brother Wynn, but you know, I'm not a night person. I'm a morning person. You want me to pray all day, I'd probably be good. Praying all night, that's not going to happen.
No.
I can. I'll wake up with a stiff back and sore knees from being down there asleep. But you know what? The Lord wants us. Be diligent in your preparation. You say you believe?
Yeah.
Be diligent with it.
Yeah. Help us, Lord.
You know, Ezra, he had gotten permission to go rebuild Jerusalem. Do y'all remember that? He was the cupbearer before the king. Got permission to go rebuild Jerusalem. And then it says he fasted and prayed before he went. And what I found interesting is the reason. There are bandits about. And he hadn't asked the king for protection. And he didn't want to ask the king for protection. He's like, Lord, I know the easy way right now would be for me to just go to the king and say, you give me permission. Could you give me some armed men to go with us to get us safely there? Mm-hmm. But he's like, I don't want to do that and make you look weak, Lord. Mm-hmm. So, Lord, I'm going to fast and pray before you. I want to get you on my side so that when I go back to rebuild Jerusalem, I don't have to ask this king for help. Mm-hmm. I'm looking to you.
That's right.
Yeah.
You're my power.
Yeah.
You're my source.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
The disciples, what I find interesting here, you know, we hear a lot of times the Lord's will, and we do need to follow that.
Sure.
But did Jesus chide them for, well, it wasn't my will to heal that child? He didn't say anything about that.
No.
He'd given them power to heal. Yeah. His will was that they go around healing people.
Yeah.
That's right.
So the fault wasn't with his will. It was their lack of preparedness. If we look in Matthew chapter 6, we're not going to turn to read it, but if you wanted to go look there, you'll see that's where one of the parts of the Lord's Prayer being put out is. And you'll also notice that right after talking about the Lord's Prayer, he goes right into fasting.
Yes.
Do you think that's a pure coincidence that here's how you pray and here's how you fast are right there together? Haven't we read throughout the Bible prayer and fasting repeatedly?
Yeah.
Thank the Lord.
So I would ask us, we want to have faith, we want to have belief, we want to have power. Are we prepared to keep it? Are we keeping tapped into the power of things? Went to Kenya 2 years ago at the meeting there. And there were two men at the meeting, both healthy, walking around. Both of them had been bedfast. One man had been in a car accident, had been bedfast for a year. And they'd been healed. No medical intervention. Healed. And we were sitting around talking with the brethren there about that and their experience of prayer and the healing. And something struck me with what those brethren said they did. It wasn't prayer and fasting, and not to criticize anybody, but it wasn't prayer and fasting like we do here. It was complete on their part. Those men went off, there was a cabin or a hut up in the mountains. They went off to that place and locked themselves in there. Nobody going in, nobody going out. 7 days. For one of them.
Wow.
No food, no water.
Oh.
Oh, I can't.
They focused on dedication to prayer and fasting and seeking the Lord for an answer.
Oh, Lord.
How do we approach the Lord? It's been a challenge to me thinking about those folks there. I mean, I've talked to the man. Walking around, but had been, I forget what damage he had had in his back. They'd looked at him. The doctors had looked at him and said, we can't really do anything for you. You're going to be in bed the rest of your life. Mm. But prayer changed things.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank the Lord.
I think about the preparation. Think about this father. One thing that stuck out to me was he didn't just give up and go away. He said, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I brought my son here because of the disciples. I believe. Mm-hmm. And he hadn't left the disciples.
No.
Even though they couldn't heal his son.
That's right.
He was there for healing. Mm-hmm. I came for healing. Mm-hmm. Where do I get it?
Yes.
I came for healing. Where is it?
Yeah.
The crowd showed up. He didn't leave.
No.
They no doubt were questioning, asking questions. He didn't leave. Why? I came for healing.
Yeah.
I believe there is healing in here somewhere for my son.
Amen.
And that's what I came for. Jesus shows up. Yes. Lord, I brought my son for healing. Okay. If you believe, you can have. I've read a lot of the Bible. You know that statement from Jesus to people when it came time for miracles, oftentimes is as you believe?
Yes.
So be it.
So be it.
Yeah.
The woman with the daughter that was told she was a dog, not to be given the food. And Jesus, you know, that's a hurtful thing to hear. That woman said, Lord, true. But the dogs eat the crumbs from the table, Lord.
Yeah.
I believe that there's something here for me,
yeah.
Lord. Mm-hmm. I've listened to you. I've listened to your preaching, and I am here because I believe. Mm-hmm. And your disciples hadn't helped me, and I know you're not appearing to help me, but Lord. And what was his response? As you believe. Mm-hmm. You know, that's opening the bounties of heaven to that poor woman.
Yes.
I shouldn't call her poor at that time, because at that point she's just been given the richest thing you could ever be given. But that woman was given whatever you can believe is yours for the taking, man. From the bounties in the storehouse of heaven.
Yeah.
Isn't that wonderful?
All because she stayed true to her belief.
Uh-huh.
I came here for belief. For healing. I believe there's healing here. I've watched. I've heard it. I know the testimony.
Uh-huh.
I know the substance. I know the evidence.
Uh-huh.
There's healing here.
Yes.
I am not giving my belief up.
Amen. Yes.
The devil can challenge me. Lord, you can test me. Because the Lord did test her, didn't he?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, Lord, I'm here because of who you are.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because of who I see, the belief I have that you are the wonderful Savior sent to us from heaven to heal the sick, the blind, the lame, the brokenhearted.
Right.
What kind of disease do we have that we want to see healed? God can heal them all.
That's true.
Do we see it?
That's right.
Well, can we hold on to it? What if we, like this poor man, don't seem to be making headway? You know, we talked earlier in the week about the three Hebrew children. Their response to the king, King, we believe in God in heaven.
Uh-huh.
We believe he can save us.
Uh-huh.
But if not,
all right,
help my unbelief.
We're still not bound to you, King.
Yes, that's so.
Praise the Lord.
We've got our belief, and we're going to hold it as good as we can. We don't have the full understanding of all of it. There's some things he might let us die.
That's true.
And at that point, our human mind says, why?
Uh-huh.
Something better.
God's plan.
That's right.
That's right.
But at the end of the day, power.
Yeah. Oh.
Their belief was answered.
Yes. Amen.
The evidence shared with us, the testimony, so we can share that too. We can cling to that.
Yeah.
But it takes work on our part.
Yes.
As that father kept coming, regardless of the press. I mean, imagine your child start having an epileptic fit. I had a friend that was epileptic, and when he would have, we worked nights in a grocery store, and sometimes we'd start working before the store closed, and if he had a seizure, people would come gawk. And here this father is, his son's out in public. A lot of times people like that will try to protect their children from that type of thing. And here this father took his kid out in the public to get him healed. This starts happening. The disciples can't heal him. People are gathering around. You think all the comments were nice comments? Can't the world just be cruel and mean sometimes?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, they can.
But he still said, I prepared myself to come, seek, and to obtain.
Yeah.
The disciples, as Jesus said, the reason you couldn't cast a child out was you weren't prepared. That father was a little more prepared than the disciples were that day. He came prepared to seek.
Yeah.
Prepared to dig into.
Yeah.
We need to take care of ourselves to make sure that we stay prepared.
I'm
going to read here, wrapping up, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. You notice it was a gift given. But it wasn't a gift to be mishandled.
That's so.
To be taken lightly. A gift just to be put up someplace in the house. It's a pretty thing. Let's put it over here and let's just look at it. Take it out on nice occasions. But the rest of the time we'll leave it there.
No.
No. Neglect it not. Meditate on it. Think about it. Give yourself wholly to it. Use it. Keep it. Why? For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. In our world today, I've worked with folks, some even in my nieces and nephews, no understanding of the Bible. None. I understand some men have not heard of the Bible, but these are my family members.
Uh-huh.
My father was a minister. These are his grandchildren.
Yes.
Yeah.
Some of them didn't even know the story of David and Goliath.
Okay.
Can you imagine talking to an 18, 20-year-old man, supposedly from a Christian family, at least for a heritage, doesn't know about David and Goliath? But if I can stay close to the Lord with my belief, do you know what the hope is? He'll learn. I had the opportunity to sit down with him on the front porch. He was having some trials. We started talking and I realized he didn't know David and Goliath. Okay, well, let me go get my Bible. You may be 18, 19, 20 years old. We're about to have a little Sunday school lesson.
Yes.
And then after we have the Sunday school lesson, we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk how this can give you courage today. Mm-hmm. You're struggling. You're not believing right now. Do you even know how to believe? I would challenge all of us today. The world wants to take your belief.
Yes.
Right.
It will do all it can to get you distracted.
Yes.
It will try to put my brother Elwell there, Monarch, the last message, I think, for that afternoon, was talking about the world will put causes out there.
Mm-hmm.
It will try to draw you all these different ways. I saw a bumper sticker one time. I had to laugh. It said, blind dogs have rights too. Blind dogs have rights. People are worried about blind dogs' rights, but not their souls. I mean, somebody went as far as having bumper stickers made for that. Shouldn't we be thinking about how do we communicate what is on our hearts?
Yes.
Your soul is important. How do we share that with the world? How do we share our belief? And at the same time, make sure we don't get distracted by the world. Y'all pray for me.